This year we've been looking at comments made by Martin Luther on a wide variety of subjects. Today it's two words that are related to each other and both apply to Christmas. They are joy and peace. If there's one thing we know for sure, life on this earth is going to be full of troubles, tribulations, difficulties, trials for miles, sickness, hard times. Storms will rise, the winds will blow, the waves will beat against us. There will be discouragement. Things won't go as planned. Times of frustration. We'll experience sorrow, weeping, financial difficulties, dark days, tough decisions, uncertain times, and lots of angst. There will be indignation in the nation and tons of stress, more or less, all the time. But the thing that God gives us, even in the midst of all these evils, is joy. The psalmist writes, Psalm 30, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Martin Luther writes a lot about joy. He says, "To achieve this type of joy, we must cling wholeheartedly to the Word, allowing no suffering or adverse circumstance to make us depressed or despondent. In fact, bearing all manner of suffering for the love of Christ actually becomes pleasant and delightful." Yeah, Luther loved paradox, didn't he? Suffering actually becoming pleasant and delightful? This is not the way the world would describe suffering. Luther goes on to say, "For the joy of the world rests on uncertain temporal possessions, honor, and pleasure, but the joy of the Christian endures forever and remains firm and increases even in the middle of external sorrow and misfortune." End quote. God wants us to be cheerful. He does not like sadness. He knows that sadness can get a pretty strong grip, especially on young people such as yourself. And so he tells you in Ecclesiastes 11, "Rejoice in your youth. Let your heart be cheerful in the days of your youth." Martin Luther makes a point of saying that true joy can only come through the Word. He said, "I constantly find that when I am without the Word, Christ is gone, yes, and so are joy and the Spirit. But as soon as I look at a psalm or another passage of Scripture, it so shines and burns into my heart that I gain a different spirit and mind. There is no solid joy in this world except the joy which the Word gives the man who believes it." Closed quote. And the psalmist would agree. Psalm 119, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." At the same time, Martin Luther acknowledges that for the Christian, joy is incomplete while still living here on this earth. He says, "Our joy cannot become full until we see God's name fully hallowed, all false doctrines eliminated, all persecutors of his kingdom suppressed, all the godless and the will and schemes of the devil checked, and God's will alone is done. But these things will not happen here, but these things will happen in yonder life. In heaven, our cup will be full of joy, and not a drop of sorrow will be in it anymore." Unquote. In summary, Luther says that the dominant chord in our life should be joy. We have a lot to be joyful about. He says, "And although we at times fall into sin, yet we should let our joy in God be stronger than our sadness in sin. We should let joy rule and Christ be greater than our sin. As John says, If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. A word related to joy is the word peace. And Luther had a lot of really interesting things to say about peace, especially spiritual peace. He says, "He who does not rely on Christ will never be at peace. The world thinks that peace consists in this, that the evil is removed from a person and ends there. Thus, when a man is poor, he thinks poverty is the source of all his trouble. So the man plans to remove the poverty. He imagines that if he can get rid of his poverty, then he will be rich and have peace." Luther goes on to say, "But Christ does not give peace in this way. He lets the evil remain to oppress a man. He does not take the evil away." And this is quite interesting. He says, God instead uses another art. He brings about a change in the person. He does not take the evil away from the person. He takes the person away from the evil. And isn't that interesting? We have peace on the inside, even though externally we're surrounded by all sorts of evils. Evil is always around us. And Luther goes on to give a whole bunch of those examples. Enemies, sickness, poverty, sin, devil, and death are always there. They do not stop, but they completely encircle the believer. And yet, the believer has peace within, strength and comfort in his heart. And that is why this peace is called the peace that passes all understanding. Unquote. And isn't that true? This kind of peace is really hard for us to comprehend. God does not take away the evil from us. It is still there. But he brings about a change in us and takes us away from the evil through the merits of Christ. So even though all this noise all about us in this world today is happening, we still have peace in Christ. He says, "Therefore, if sin presses you, if death or hell or danger of any sort or a temptation of the devil distresses you, you must turn your eyes away from the evil that is afflicting you and direct your attention with all your might to the promises of God, for in them you will find rest and peace and joy, which all hell is unable to take away from you." As Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And also, as Paul told the Romans in chapter 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. Now, before we sing, it has come to our attention. You know Dr. David Menton? Raise your hand if you know of Dr. Menton. Yes, most of us. He was a student in the very first year of this school's existence. He was a student. And apparently he's really having a hard time now. He's had COVID for a couple weeks. He's battling that. He's on full ventilator, and his wife has been told to prepare herself. And I think you know what that means. And I think it'd be proper for us to pray on his behalf to the Father, Heavenly Father, right now. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you inspired the psalmist to write, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Lord, we ask now, according to your love and wisdom, to take Dr. Menton home to his heavenly reward in eternal peace with you. Amen. Let's close today with the last three stanzas of hymn 85. That would be 13 and 14 and 15 of hymn 85, a nice Martin Luther hymn.